Venerable sisters and dear parishioners, last Sunday I spoke to you about St. Alphonsus Maria de Liguori, and one who is called the Doctor of Prayer. And I would like to further talk about prayer in today's sermon and to make it more specific about prayer. Now, you may be thinking, but I've heard these things. I've studied the Baltimore Catechism. I know it. However, we all need refreshers. We all need to be reminded, and at least once a year, I want to have a catechism on prayer. Just take it straight out of the Baltimore Catechism. And today's saint, St. John Marie Vianney, patron of parish priests, was very apt or want to do it in this manner. He would not only preach sermons, but teach catechism from the pulpit. So I know I'm doing well, since the patron saint of parish priests himself did this. This is from Lesson 37 of the Baltimore Catechism, and the first question, what is prayer? Prayer is the lifting up of our minds and hearts to God. As we can see, it's not enough that we're in church. Sad to say, somebody can come into church and not pray by letting his mind wander. And that person offends God. Any one of us would offend God if we come into church and let our mind be somewhere else. It, of course, is very necessary and very beneficial that we are in church, but the most important part of that is that connection that we're making with God. It's talking to God. We say, lift our minds and hearts to God. It means talk to him. And not only talk to him, but listen to him. What kind of a conversation, would you enjoy a conversation that's one-sided, where somebody else does all the talking? No, you want to say something too. So this is indeed an unbelievable privilege that the Creator himself allows us to speak to him and to listen to him. This is a gift. This is a privilege. This is like being like Adam and Eve when they walked in the garden before they fell, and they spoke familiarly with God, and he made himself present to them in a special way. And even though we may not feel the presence of God, he is a spirit after all. Nevertheless, we can communicate. And without this communication, there is absolutely no chance of salvation. May I remind you of what St. Alphonsus Liguori says? He who prays will save his soul. He who does not pray will not save his soul. Anybody in hell is somebody who gave up on prayer, who stopped persevering in prayer. Anybody in heaven is somebody who didn't quit on prayer, who kept persevering in prayer. It's that beautiful, it's that simple. Why do we pray? There's four reasons why we pray, and it's the same four reasons why this holy sacrifice of the Mass is offered. An easy way to remember it is adoration, reparation, thanksgiving, and petition. Those four words. And, you know, too often I think we're inclined to begin prayer by saying, help me, God, with this or with that. And that's all good. But let's not forget that the number one thing we should do in prayer is acknowledge God is the Creator. I am the creature. I must never forget that. I adore thee from my being a creature. It's an act of humility. And we know how pleased God is with humility. St. Teresa says, you know, the greatest graces she received was always when she humbled herself. Remember, we have that problem of pride. We think too much of ourselves, or we exalt ourselves. And then God pushes us away. God resists the proud and gives his grace to the humble. So humble adoration is the first reason why we pray. Second, to thank him. We don't thank God enough. We need to have a spirit of continual gratitude. Like G.K. Chesterton said, always be grateful. Not just act like everything should be given to us, but just be grateful. You know, I didn't stop breathing in my sleep last night. My heart didn't stop beating. How often do I say thank you to God for that? Thank him for the food, the air, the things that he's provided for soul and body. There's a continual hymn of thanks that we really could make to God if we thought about all of our blessings. Third, to obtain from him the pardon of our sins and remission of their punishments, we have to apologize. Why? Because we have so often offended God. It's the same with a human relationship. Anybody that you've offended unjustly, you need to say, I'm sorry. Otherwise, you can't communicate effectively. It's the same with God. There is so much that we have to say we're sorry for. And God loves to hear that from us. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm struggling to overcome sin. Help me to be more sorry for these sins. That's always an act of prayer. And finally, the fourth reason, to ask him for the graces that we need for ourselves and others. It's true that God already gives some graces without being asked. But St. Alphonsus Liguori said that will not be enough for salvation. Why? Because there are many graces and blessings that God has determined to give only if he's asked for them. Only. And we'll talk about the need to do that a little bit later on. How should we pray? These are qualities of prayer. First, with attention. Just like you're talking to a fellow human being, how would that fellow human being feel if you kept looking off to the side? Here he or she's trying to say something. And you just keep looking. It's disrespectful. And that person isn't going to really want to communicate with you. It's the same way with distractions. We have to be attentive to God. Keep bringing our minds back to prayer, to what our focus is or should be. Second, with the conviction of our own helplessness and our dependence upon God. Do you want to stay humble? Just think about what our Lord said to the apostles at the Last Supper. Without me, you can do nothing. That's right. Nothing. It's not the word that begins with S, something. It's the word that begins with N, nothing. That's how much we need God. So when we acknowledge that humbly, that we're sinners, that we don't have anything of ourselves, but we humbly reach out to our Heavenly Father, to our Holy Mother Mary, to the saints and angels who intercede for us, then we receive more of what we ask and what we need. Third, with a great desire for the graces we beg of him. We're half-hearted in asking. Probably won't get what we ask for. But the more we want it, the more we shall receive it. Fourth, with loving trust in his goodness. It's a little hard to do at times because it seems that God isn't listening. But we have to keep making that act of trust. I trust thee, O God. I hope for what I pray for. And the fifth is with perseverance, the fifth quality. So again, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but attention, conviction of our own helplessness, third, with a great desire, fourth, with loving trust, and fifth, with perseverance. I've often mentioned her, and I will mention her again, Saint Monica, a model of perseverance. She felt like quitting over and over again because it was 30 years before her son Augustine began to turn the corner. At one point, she was so feeling very low, and the great bishop, saintly bishop of Milan, Saint Ambrose, who would end up baptizing Augustine, comforted her and said, "It is impossible that the child of so many tears should be lost." And so she was strengthened and encouraged by that to keep on praying, keep up offering her sacrifices, keep offering her tears and her good works for her son. And she gave us the most amazing son. You know, it's true of the great saints. If they hadn't become great saints, they would have become some of the most wicked, powerful people in history. You think of people like Martin Luther. If he had only done the right thing, he could have been Saint Martin Luther. But no, he rebelled against the church and he concocted his own false doctrines. Or think about Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin. If these men have tremendous personalities, very strong personalities, if they had turned it in the right direction, if somebody hadn't perhaps given up on them in prayer, they could have been great saints. Well, in this case with St. Augustine, it absolutely was true. Instead of becoming a great persecutor of the church, a great heretic, well, he was a heretic in his earlier years, he became one of the greatest doctors in the history of the church, a teacher, a great philosopher, theologian, very saintly man. Why? Because his mother didn't give up on him. One of the very special of the many spiritual highlights I had on my Italy trip in May was we visited the Church of St. Augustine in Rome, where the body of St. Monica is. And there was nobody else there with our, so our little group prayed the rosary there, and I noticed there are many, many, many holy cards of St. Monica available, so I obtained many of them. And I touched them all to her tomb. And I want to give these away, especially to mothers who have children who have wandered away from the right path. I will be more than happy to give you that holy card, touched to her tomb. And again, the model of perseverance in prayer, never to change. Now, philosophically, it might be asked, why should we pray to God when God doesn't change? Interesting thought. You see, God is perfect. He can't change, otherwise he'd get worse or get better, but that's impossible. So why would we pray? Well, because from all eternity, God knew the prayers that you would pray. Remember, he lives in an ever-present now, which we find it impossible to relate to because we live in the sequence of time. But God lives in an eternal now, and he knew every single of the countless billions of prayers that would be offered. And he already said, yes, I will give that grace because of these prayers that will be offered. And here's another reason why we should pray even though God doesn't change. Prayer changes us always for the better. Never forget that. When you're on your knees, or even if informally praying, going about your daily occupations, when you're praying, you are being changed for the better. For whom should we pray? We should pray for ourselves, for our parents, relatives, friends, and enemies, for sinners, for the souls in purgatory, for the clergy, and for the officials of our country. There are so many intentions that need to be prayed for. And nothing should be excluded from our prayers, although we have particular intentions. How do we know that God always hears our prayers if we pray properly? Because our Lord has promised, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Why do we not always obtain what we pray for? Because either we have not prayed properly, or because God sees that what we are asking would not be for our good. I know many people pray that God helps them win the lottery. But in most cases, it would be the worst thing for people all of a sudden to have that instant wealth. So because God loves them, he says no. So they feel like, well, God doesn't hear me. God doesn't listen to me. Yes, he did, and he said no. But here's the important point to remember. Because God loves us, often he gives us something even better. I wouldn't even say often. I would say he always gives us something else and something better than what we prayed for. Are distractions in our prayers always displeasing to God? They are not displeasing to God unless they are willful. So, as we are here at Sunday Mass, as we pray our daily rosaries, our morning and night prayers, as long as we are not deliberately entertaining the distraction, we might have to keep booting that distraction out of our minds over and over and over again. And God is pleased because then you're adding a real element of sacrifice to your prayer. And remember, sacrifice always enhances the value of prayer. This is why Our Lady reminded us at Fatima to pray and sacrifice for sinners. And many souls go to hell because there isn't prayer and sacrifice being offered for them. And that's always going to be a built-in sacrifice, the discipline we need to take mentally to not let our minds wander. And again, reemphasizing a point, if we let our mouth say the Hail Mary and our mind is on something else, then we earn the reproach of our Lord. Their lips praise me, but their hearts are far from me. It's a sin. It's a venial sin of disrespect to entertain deliberate distractions in our prayers. And there's also mental prayer and vocal prayer. Mental prayer is especially the kind that we have in silent times. We're not saying anything with our lips. We are talking, trying to have a heart-to-heart talk with God. And that is so important. God is not found in a tumult. You can't be praying if there's noise going on around you or sound or music. You have to be able to focus, and those things distract us. You know, I find it so telling that when the new Mass was introduced, which I don't believe is a true Mass at all, one thing the modernists did, and yes, they were modernists, they made sure that there was not any silent time during their so-called Mass. And you can see how much silent time there is in the traditional Mass. You can really connect with God because there's silence. And this is something we have to have with prayer in the home. This is where parents have to train their children to pray at home. If they don't train them to pray at home, then they won't be able to pray in church. And we are, of course, in a very special way praying to God in church. So, but it begins in the home. The silence, the turning off of distractions, so that prayer can happen in the home. I am absolutely convinced that part of the devil's plan, you might even say the first step of the Satan's plan for the family, is to not have prayer, to make excuses why prayer is not offered in the home. And it may not be a huge victory, but it certainly is a victory for the devil. And then the next day, he will do what he can to prevent the rosary and morning and night prayers from being prayed. It's always a victory for him, because we always tend to lose our spiritual focus without that time for formal prayer. So we have to set that time aside. It's absolutely critical. Prayer is the very life of the soul. It's the spiritual lungs breathing. I know it may not be the best analogy, but maybe think of that when you pray. We have to breathe spiritually, and prayer is always a breath that is taken spiritually. So I wanted to share these thoughts with you on prayer, my dear brethren. I hope that it helps you, these specifics on prayer, and it's preparing us for an eternity of prayer, is it not? Isn't that the very essence of heaven, to be with God and therefore to communicate with God, to be in his presence? So we practice that in this life so that we may have it, of course, at a very as high a degree of glory as possible in heaven. Remember, too, we not only have God to pray to, but remember the intercession of Our Lady. She obtains things for us that we could never obtain for ourselves. And read about the story of Cana when seemingly against Jesus' will, she got him to change the water into wine. That's the power of intercession that Our Lady has. And then the saints and angels. God loves to have these saints and angels pray to. And because of their special status, they can obtain things for us that we could not obtain on our own. So there's so much more I could say, but let's go back to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the greatest prayer of all. Pray the Mass, as Saint, don't just pray at Mass, as Saint Pius X said, pray the Mass, follow the Missal, the best way to follow the Mass or pray your rosary, and now we shall return to this infinite prayer, uniting with Jesus as we continue through this holy sacrifice of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.